so. Also, next week on Tuesday is the Mighty Macho Men of Motoka monthly meeting. And this Tuesday, we're going to have a little bit of a work night. So wear your work clothes, and the church will buy pizza, so you won't have to worry about cooking anything or anything. We just have some things that we need to move around and stuff, and we have a ditch we need to dig a little bit. We need to move some stuff out of these two rooms because we're going to knock the wall out back there and make a bigger room, okay? So that's coming up. And also remember Christine's Operation Christian Box thing. The month of May is the month for wow toys. You say, what's a wow toy? Any toy that make a kid say wow. So depends on how poor they are, depending on the toy to make them say wow. Wow toy, Barbie, any toy I think would be like a wow toy. But yeah, but something a little bit special maybe, or something. Doesn't have to be expensive, just something that they would think was something neat. And then the ladies on May the 23rd are having their fellowship, the Sisters for Christ, and they're going to do chicken and noodles. And so you're asked to bring a rolling pin and some side dishes that go with chicken and noodles, okay? So that'll be a fun time, and I will make the mashed potatoes for it so that I will be eligible to eat, okay? All right, Tim, you ready? Okay, we're in the book of Jude, and this is Jude Part 4, The Sin of Sodom. Now, I started to bring out all of these commentaries that I have in my office, but I didn't want to mess with them. But I cannot find a commentary that even says a thing about this the way that I'm trying to teach it to you. Before we get into that, while we're waiting on maybe some more people to come, I got two articles. Tim, I don't care which one you show first, just to show you kind of the day in which we live. This is a United Nations-backed legal recommendation normalizing sex with minors. This is coming down from the UN, which the UN is in New York City and mainly funded by you. But this has started years ago when they started this propaganda about children have the right to consent. Remember a while back I showed you the video of the people who were claiming that if a parent didn't get consental right to change an infant's diaper, then that was child abuse. And remember what I told you. The whole thing is to attribute to a baby consent. Now, if you remember that video, that crazy mentally ill woman said, well, we know they can't verbally talk, but they can talk with their eyes. These people are mentally ill, and I don't hear anybody else saying it but me, and I'll keep saying it. They're mentally ill. They're mentally ill. And what this is called in psychology is gaslighting. And that gaslighting is a term for when people tell you something that you know is not true, and they keep affirming it and telling it until you believe it. Narcissists love to gaslight people, you know. And if you're not careful and you're in a relationship with a narcissist, you'll wind up repeatedly telling them you're sorry for what they did to you. That's gaslighting. How do I know? Because I'm the poster boy for it. I lived it 40 years. So this is a UN-backed legal recommendation normalizing sex with minors. And if you read that article, they don't have any age limit. It's if a kid gives consent. And they're going to give kids rights. Do you realize always in the past, your children didn't have any rights? you had parental rights. They didn't have any rights. Why is that? Well, because we used to be kind of somewhat intelligent. You can't give a right to a three-year-old kid. The parents are in control of that kid. But if you start to give little children consent, then they can consent to anything. Now, this isn't something that's obscure. This isn't something that's just a minute group of people. This is the United Nations, every nation on the planet united together. So, this one gets a little closer to home. For all the who's an OSU fan in here? Is that it? We got one and a half. Mrs. Carr's not sure. Who's an OU fan? Well, that makes sense. Watch this. Watch this. Tim, show this, if you will. This OU, Oklahoma University. Now, Oklahoma University is not a state, so-called state-funded university, but it does get funding from the state. Right? This is OU pays drag queen $18,000 for one performance. Now, how long do you think that performance lasted? The article goes on to make a big deal about it. The president of OU, with his salary of a little over $500,000, he makes like, we can go on down there and look at it, he makes something like $1,300-something a day. Well, this is $18,000 for a couple of hours. I don't think that the pervert danced around and shook his booty for 2 hours. I was just, maybe it's an hour. That's $18,000 an hour. And then they went down to the head coach of OU, who makes a lot more money than the president of OU, and the drag queen still made more money. So there's a state representative, Justin Humphrey. Thank God for him. He's wanting the state to pull their funding to the University of Oklahoma. So all you Sooners, there you go. Yeah, $18,000 for them. Anyway, here we go. So we're in the book of Jude. Jude chapter 1. This is a very strange book. And I don't know how to make it all clear to you. But this book says something at the very beginning that everybody reads over. If you want to, you could come to my office after this is over. I'll lay out 15 different commentaries. You can get on your phone. And not one of them so far that I've found makes one comment on this verse. And this verse is explaining why Jude felt an overwhelming urge to write this book. And this whole book is giving proofs of how God judges sin. And he gives several different examples. That's what the book's about. Apostasy. And what he says is that me and you need to fight like a military war to keep our faith, the faith, because there are ancient old men that have crept into the church and trying to destroy it. Well, I mean, let's stop and think about it. There's nobody ancient that can creep into this church. But there are evil spirits, the Bible always calls them men, who can creep into your church through the host of another human. That's what the book, I know that sounds crazy. I know you're like, why in the world did I drive out of here? That's what the whole book's about. Whether you know it or not, that's what we try to do here. Jude chapter 1, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, that's a mouthful, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful. Now, if you look up that word needful in the Greek, in the explanation for it, it's like it must needs done. So he said, I wanted to just write you a little fluffy book about our common salvation, but I felt it impressed on me, this must needs to be done. Well, it must be important, right? It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend, and that word means to fight, like a battle, like fight unto death, contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, once again, we need to qualify. He didn't say fight for your salvation. He said fight for the faith that was once delivered. We're not talking salvation, but has what you might call the faith, have you seen it morph and change in the last 20 years? Have you seen what you might consider to be called the faith change in the last 2 years? You just had a church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, for their Easter pageant, had a woman on a cross. I don't know. Yeah, whatever, you know. Verse 5. Oh, no, we'll go back. I'm sorry, Tim. Verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares. So these, we know some things. These things are men and they're creeps. And all the women know that most men are creeps. But these things are creeping in unawares. They're somehow trying to come in secretively. Well, why is that? Because they have evil intent. Now, these certain men crept in unawares. Well, let's find out about them. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Now, listen, I find it really strange that nobody says a word about why he said he wrote the book, that he said it was very needful that I write this book. Why? Because there's men creeping into the church unawares. Now, there are a lot of commentaries that say we need to watch out for the church in the last days turning to apostasy. That's not what that says. Let's just read it for what it says. These men were before. So these men were before what? If we can read fourth grade English, before they crept in. Before of old. And that word means ancient. Ordained to this condemnation. So what Jude is saying is, these old evil spirit men have been ordained to this condemnation ancient time past. And then he's going to show you some examples of it. See, when God flooded out the whole world in Genesis 6, it was because angels had came in and blended the human race with angelic blood. Well, that's an interference. The next thing he gives is Sodom and Gomorrah. There's something there. We're going to look into that tonight. So they're old and they're ordained to this judgment in the past. Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Now, this is the fourth week I've read that word. There's been snickers every time. Would anyone like to say that word properly? Lasciviousness. Lasciviousness. Exactly what I said. And denying. Now, the valedictorian Sally gave us the definition, and she was right, it's true. It means lustful, filthy, desiring something filthy, and most of the time in a sexual manner, and that's what it means here. And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's very important, because what he's going to say is their biggest sin is they're not afraid to talk about or make accusations against God and the heavenly beings. That's what this book's about. He says it's very evil when people don't have any problem making accusations against God. Now, the word used in the King James Bible is dignitaries, and most people teach it like you're not supposed to say anything about your politicians. Let me tell you something, people. Pull your head out of the sand. If you keep your head in the sand, you have another part of your anatomy exposed. This book is not talking about any politician. It's talking about the dignitaries, the honored ones, the most dignitary and honorable, God himself, and I'll prove it in a minute, and other angelic beings. Watch. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord... So you understood what he said there. You need to fight for your faith, because there's old, creepy, ancient men coming in through maybe young women or men into the church and is trying to destroy it. And he said, I'm going to remind you what God thinks about that. So don't you allow some old, creepy, evil spirit to use you to destroy the church. Now, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is to rebuke and reprove, and that's what we do. We rebuke and reprove things in the church that we believe are evil and wrong. But as far as attacking the bride of Christ, you won't ever see me do it. I talk a lot about the Catholic Church, but I believe inside the Catholic Church there possibly could be some people that are born again. If they are, they're not very good Catholics. And if they are, they usually work their way out of that church. I've seen it many times. I believe in these big box churches. There could be people that are born again in those churches. I don't ever say that every person that goes to Joel Osteen's church isn't born again. I believe there's a lot of people that could be born again that go there. They go there for the music. They go there for the prestige. They go there because they can go and watch it like a movie and then go home. They have no accountability. They have no commitment. That's what a church is all about. You're supposed to be a body. Well, what if your body had different parts, organs, that wanted to be a part of the body but not committed? What if your lungs, you know, said, man, I think I'm just going to breathe like 3 times today. Well, you know, you die, right? What if your lower intestine says, well, I think the large intestine was talking about me, you know. Well, you're going to die. I don't say there's not born-again people in them. But when you start saying things about the bride of Christ, you're in trouble, man. Watch. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. Now, if you're in Sunday school, and you should be, that's right where we're at. The men's Sunday school class, we talked about that all Sunday. We go to Numbers chapter 12. And Marion's Moses' sister and his noodleback brother Aaron And they start talking about Moses. And they say, well, God talks to us too. He don't just talk to Moses. And in our class of way more than average intelligence biblically, we come to the understanding that they were envious of Moses. And I think the conversation probably went something like this. If I was your dad and I was tucking you in at night, I used to tell my boys Bible stories at night. Here's how the story would go. Miriam's his older sister, probably 14, 15 years older than him. She's old enough to put him in a basket and arrange the whole thing where he gets found by Pharaoh's daughter. She's old enough to tell Pharaoh's daughter, hey, I know a Hebrew woman that can nurse that baby for you. Well, I can just see Marion saying, if it wasn't for me, Moses wouldn't even be alive. Who's he think he is going up on the mountain and come back down, all this stuff? I'm about sick and tired of taking orders from him. He's our baby brother. Another thing that one great theologian said, well, I bet they was envious because they got stuck in Goshen as slaves and Moses got took to the palace. Raised 40 years as the son of Pharaoh, set to take the throne, and they're still slaves. Yeah, you know there's some kind of envy going on there. So when God speaks to him, he says, okay, you two Hanyaks. He said, and Miriam's a prophetess. And God says, when I speak to prophets, I speak to them through dark sayings or dreams or visions, but not so with Moses. He said, when I speak to Moses, I speak to him face to face, mouth to mouth. And then he says this, and you two know it. And since you two know that I have that relationship with Moses, why were you not afraid to speak against Moses? Oh, it's a bad deal. That's what this whole book's about. Go back to that verse 5. That these things would cause people to unbelieve. So the first example he gives is, hey, you should remember this. You at one time remembered it. I'll remind you of it. Remember those that unbelieved and God destroyed them that came out of Egypt? You know what I told my class? I showed them in the book of Matthew and Mark where the Bible says that Pilate said he knew that it was for envy that the high priest wanted Jesus crucified. You ought to ask people, do you know why they crucified Jesus? And I've never met anybody yet that knew why. The Bible says because of envy. Because they were envious of him. And in my class, we tried to, what are they envious of? They have the position, they have the power, but he had God. So this envy, it's a green-eyed monster cousin to the green-eyed monster jealousy. They run together. And the Bible says this, where there's envy and strife, there's confusion and every evil work. Now that's a mouthful. Every evil work, that's what it says. So anytime you have a church and you get some people that are running on envy and causing strife, man, that's evil. Now, this is what I believe, and I believe the Bible backs it up. Those people most of the time don't even know that they're being used by some creepy, ancient, evil spirit dude. Because everybody is inspired, led, educated, informed by spirits. Either God's spirit, evil spirit, or their own spirit. You say, well, what about my brain? That's very, very little of how you function comes from your brain. And if we could prove that, if we just walked around and followed you around for a little while. Most of what you do and think and function comes from your mind. It's a different thing. Okay, verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, so you once knew how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Verse 6. And the angels, here's another example. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness, under judgment of the great day. So he's very serious about judging this. When you speak ill of dignitaries or God or angelic hosts and things. Verse 7, here's where we're going to land today. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. Okay, so we know for sure, and I don't care what that so-called woman pastor in Bartlesville that has the church that drives all the LGBTQ stuff, they interviewed her on Fox 23, and she said, oh, yes, in her office, oh, yes, I'm familiar with Sherman. He's a mess. But he's really bloated this time. I've never punched a woman. That woman's evil. That woman, my opinion, has some of the creepiest old evil spirits that ever creeping in her. She wrote an article in the Examiner Enterprise. They always publish her articles. Why? Because they're a bunch of homosexuals at Examiner Enterprise. Peggy called them queer. Even as Sodom, I'm going to say something else. One of the biggest promoters of the drag queen stuff is Safari Dentistry. Pediatric dentistry. Now, why would a pediatric dentistry promote drag queens? Because I've been saying it for 30 years, it's all about the kids. Well, what kind of parent in their right mind would purposely take their kid? I would pull my kids' teeth out with a pair of pliers before I would take them to a dentistry that is promoting drag queens. That does not make any sense to me. But when they did it in Bartlesville, did their practice shut down? No, they're flourishing. As a matter of fact, they've shut down other dentistries because they've got all the business. I'm telling you, they're mentally ill. 20 years ago, if you were, as my mate says, a puffer, and you were a dentist, and a pediatric dentist, if you were a homosexual 20 years ago, you wouldn't have let anybody know it. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. Well, that so-called woman pastor, which is an oxymoron. You can't be a woman and a pastor. I'm sorry. There are some things you can do, some things you can't. Men can't have babies. Women can't pastor churches. They can do virtually anything else in a church. But ain't it just like Adam and Eve? They don't want to do what God has ordained them to do. They always want to do what God said not to do. I've said this before because most of my analogies have something to do with food. Back when we used to have the Golden Corral here, and God rest their soul, I said there's 14,000 things on that buffet. But when you got to the door, the manager said you can have anything in there but these Brussels sprouts. Your mouth would start watering for Brussels sprouts. You'd think, I wonder what they taste like. I wonder why I can't have them. And then your mind would say, well, you don't even like Brussels sprouts. And you'd be like, shut up, though. But he said, I can't have them. But you've never even tried them before. You've been in here 1,000 times. You don't like them. You don't want them. Yeah, I know, but he said, I can't have them. Ain't that how you work? Sure it is. You sit there and don't nod your head. Nobody will know. She said the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was they weren't nice people to strangers. And I wrote back on Facebook, I know y'all's heard this before, I said, well, you're partially right, because if you want to gang rape a couple of men to death homosexually, that's not being very nice. Well, we'll see it in just a minute. They went after strange flesh. They're set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Do you know, when God got through with that place and there was five cities all together, there's nobody ever lived in them again. There's nobody ever even stepped foot in them again. Most theologians will tell you they're in the bottom of the Dead Sea. It's the lowest place on the earth. You can still go there on the shore and pick up sulfur and bentonite. You can light it. When God destroyed it, he destroyed it. And the Jordan River runs into the Dead Sea, but the Dead Sea doesn't have any outlet. So the water runs in there, and it just sets, and the minerals fall, and the water evaporates, and it's dead. You can't drink it. You can float on it. It's dead. And it's an example to you. If all you do is come here and sit here and listen to me and get fed and fed and fed and fed and you don't have an outlet, you'll be dead as well. And it won't take you very long. We had a couple left here. You know, everybody's got to have an excuse. She said, well, we're just not getting fed no more. I sent her the service before that night, 76 scriptures. I said, where else are you going to go and get 76 scriptures on a Wednesday night? But she had to have a reason. So, tonight we're going to look at this. The time of Noah and the time of Sodom's destruction are linked together biblically over and over and over again. Why? Maybe they have something in common. That's what I believe. Look at Luke 17:26. We got to move quickly. And as it was in the days of Noah, that's the Greek Noah translated into English is Noe. My grandpa had a brother. He was the sheriff of LaFleur County for years. And his name was Noe. N-O-E. But on his birth certificate, it was Noah, right? So that's Noah. So shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat and they drank and they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they're tied together. Noah and Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. One of the things that ties them together is Noah and his family was saved out of the wrath of God. The water that drowned everything on the planet was the same water that saved Noah and his family. The boat floated on the water. The water drowned everything else. It was the agent that God used to kill them. It was also the agent God used to save Noah and his family. When Noah got told to go into the ark, do any of you students know how long was Noah and his family in that ark before God shut the door? Because Noah didn't shut the door. God shut the door. And I think it needs to be noted that God told Noah, come. Come. He didn't say, go get in the ark. He said, come get in the ark. Which means what? God was in the ark. Does anybody know how long until God shut the door? No. What?
7 days.
7 days. Now, the rapture of the church is signified in Noah and his family being saved in the ark. The ark symbolizes heaven. But there's 7 days where there can be a remnant of people who come in there if they wanted to, representing the tribulation in my mind. But nobody wanted to come in there. You'll read here in just a second in the story of Lot, the angels, Lot and his wife are biding time. And the angels finally, they let the cat out of the bag. They said, listen, Lot, we can't do what God's going to do in this city until you're safe. And so they're still biding time. And the Bible says the angels grab Lot and a daughter and his wife and a daughter, and they drug them out of the city. But the key is God's wrath couldn't fall on that place as long as Lot and his family was there. As another example of the rapture, you're not appointed to God's wrath. So in both cases, God's people were safe before God's wrath fell. Now, you say, well, why were they biding time? Why weren't they going immediately? Because they had two more daughters, son-in-laws, and grandkids. Would you been just real yippy about running out and leaving your grandkids in that place? I don't think so. You'll get to it in just a minute. So, they're tied together. Well, maybe, I'm just saying maybe, this is my bedtime story, maybe their sins are similar. So the days of Noah and Lot are tied together. These people talk about this book, they don't say one thing about why he wrote the book. They go on and on about the book and what it said in the book, but they miss the purpose or the reason for the book, but not us. So look at Jude chapter 1, verse 3. It says to contend for the faith. That's a military term. To fight for it, battle for it. You're in a war. You're in a spiritual battle. Ephesians tells you, put on the whole armor of God. What for? Because you're in a battle. Look at verse 4. These old, ancient men that are creeping in are really ancient evil spirits. And they use people to do their evil deeds. Still today. They've been under God's condemnation for ages. And if you will be willing for them to use you to do what they have done in the past, they will get you condemned by God as well. So, Jude goes on to give some examples of God's judgment and what these evil spirits do to cause it. Look at Genesis 6:4. We're going to skip those last. We just read them 10. Genesis 6:4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, that they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. Now hold the phone. When you just read that and you don't think about it, you think, well, they became mighty men. Okay, now let's just slow down a second. What does that mean in English? They what? They weren't mighty men to start with. It's up in the air right now. Well, what in the cat hair were they? But don't worry about that. Whatever they were, they became mighty men. Well, you know, they weren't men before. They were angels. And they weren't mighty on the earth. They were mighty God creatures. But when they chose to manifest on the earth and become men, manifest as men, well, they lived so long, they began to rule everything. Look at Greek mythology. Look at history. It is, you can go anywhere in the planet. There's these stories of these. Half the shows on TV are about aliens. And what is the most famous show about it? Ancient aliens. Okay, hang on a second. This is Genesis 6. Now, this is Noah. Adam just died a few years before the flood. So these men didn't live on the earth as normal men and become ancient on the earth. They were before the earth. Listen, the same men, watch, there were giants in the earth in those days, and after that, when the angels of God, the sons of God, that's what it, every time in the Old Testament, that's what it refers to. The angels of God came into the daughters of men. There's a difference, angels and men. And they bear children to them. Uh-oh. The same sons of God became mighty men, which were of old. Well, when they manifested as a man on earth, they were already ancient. Men of renown. So, these ancient spirits Jude talking about, men creeping into churches, they're ancient. These offsprings of the angels and humans. They had the ability to live a very, very, very long time as well. They could be killed. But as far as health-wise, they lived almost forever. They lived to be very old. And they became very prominent, and they ruled everything. Now, if you basically live forever, and you rule everything, don't you think people would tend to think of you as a god? So, when the bloodlines got altered, one of the things where they figured out how to live for a very, very, very long time. And what the purpose was, that they could overthrow the words of God and they could live forever apart from God. Because God said the wages of sin is death. And God told Adam and Eve, the day you sin, that day you will die. So the devil's trying to figure out how to keep from dying apart from God. Do you know that's what every major nation on the planet is pumping trillions of dollars into right now? Now, they don't want to give you longevity and health. They want to kill you. And it don't matter what you think, if you're smart and you want to learn some stuff. Bill Gates said, we have a problem with too many people, but we could regulate that with vaccines. What you talking about, Willis? I thought vaccines is supposed to make you live longer. No, they killing you. I mean, that's what he said. I didn't say that. I don't know nothing about vaccines. And I personally don't care if you take them all. But at least you ought to educate before you vaccinate. When the guy that makes it and is making the money off of it said, we're going to be able to regulate the population and bring it down. They want to bring it down. It's at 8 billion now. They want to bring it down to 500 million. Now, they want to live forever, but they don't want you to live forever. But whenever mankind has discovered this, God annihilates them. So, let's go a little bit further. So, this word, old, that you're going to see here in a minute, in Genesis 19:4, talking about Sodom, it is the Hebrew word 2205, it's Zacain. I just say that just, you know, who knows if that's how you say it, but I'm the one reading it. It's Zacain. I know more about it than you do. It's Z-A-W-K-A-N-E. How would you say it? Now, of course, Sally, you probably know exactly how to say it, but I say it, Zacane. It means ancient. That's what it means. Watch. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around, both ancient and young, all the people from every quarter. So, Jude wants you to know that the sin of unbelieving, the people that left Egypt, those people that were unbelieving, and the angels that had sex with the human women, and the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah were all sins towards God. And so are the sins of these old ancient men that are evil spirits using human men and women to attack the faith of Jesus Christ, primarily, probably, by attacking the teachings and the preachings of the church. Same thing, different day. So let's look at the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. You think you might know it. You've never probably heard me tell it. If you have, you're in for it again. Genesis 18, verses 1 through 8. This isn't the story yet, but you got to get this, okay? This is what most people miss. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. Now, this is talking about Abraham. Abraham has a village. History says, outside the Bible, history says Abraham was probably one of the richest men on the earth in his day. The Bible tells you he had 318 men that were full-time employed as an army. He is not some goat herder. Sorry, the Beemans aren't here. He's not some goat herder in a tent by himself and his disgruntled wife. He has a whole village of people. Okay? He is the king of that area. When some angel and human hybrid kings came through and took all of Sodom and those cities and all those people as prisoners, Abraham and his men went and destroyed them and liberated them. Now, that's a whole other story, but these hybrid Nephilim kings had these little cities on the toll. They was having to pay them taxes. They were Nephilim hybrid people in these cities. And when they made the taxes too high, the cities revolted. So those Nephilim kings came and they captured Sodom and Gomorrah and all those cities and they took off with them. And Abraham went and defeated them and gave them back their cities. He's a big deal, okay? Notice the Lord appears unto him. Angels can come to earth and manifest as a man. They're always men. They always look like just a regular old Joe. Okay? They don't have wings. They don't fly around. They walk. Matter of fact, the New Testament says they look so normal, you might meet one and talk to them and not even know they're an angel. I want to show you this. Well, God himself can do that too. And all through the Old Testament, he manifested himself as a human being on the earth. Sometimes he's called the angel of the Lord. Sometimes he's called the angel of the host. It's a pre-birth or incarnate manifestation of God himself. Okay? He did it multiple times. He was only born one time. So when God was born of a woman, that changed everything. So, here's one of these appearances. If you live through the study on Melchizedek, you know what I believe. I believe Melchizedek was Abraham's priest, preacher, and taught him all the things of God because Melchizedek was a manifestation of God. And God lived in the area of Abraham for many, many years as the high priest Melchizedek. That's what I believe. And I believe if you would read all the scriptures, you would believe that too. Unless you want to be wrong, and you have that right in America. Okay? Now, you'll notice Abraham knows this guy. This ain't the first time he's seen this guy. It ain't the first time he's had a conversation with him. He knows him. And he knows who he is. Watch. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men. There's two angels and God himself. But what was Miss Swan used to say on Mad TV? Oh, he looked like a man. They looked like men. Three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door. And he bowed himself toward the ground. Notice, this being allows him to bow down and worship him. Only God does that, and Satan. Okay? So take your pick. And said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant." So he knows who it is, right? Watch what he says. "Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourself under the tree." You think he's entertained this guy before? Watch this. "And I'll fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on." What? Now, I would assume that you would agree with me. He recognizes this as being God. But yet, he talks. He says, let me make you a little lunch. Let me let you rest here. Let me wash your feet. Let me get you some cool water. You can refresh yourself. And then you can go on about your way. Well, don't you think that's strange unless he knows this guy lives in that area? Well, if he thinks it's God and God's just coming, wouldn't he say, "Let me give you some bread and you can take it back to heaven"? But he doesn't say that, does he? Watch what he says. "You comfort your hearts. After that, ye shall pass on. For therefore are you come to your servant." And they said, "So do as thou hast said." Now watch what he does. "And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, Sarah, get off your phone and get busy." He said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes upon the hearth." And Abraham ran into the herd, and he fetched a calf tender and good, probably a goat, maybe a lamb, and gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it. So he tells this young guy, "You kill this animal, dress this animal," and he tells him how to cook it. And they roasted them over fire. They're doing all this stuff as quick as they can for the Lord, right? And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and he set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. So they got freshly rotisserated, whatever, calf. They got hot bread. They got butter and milk. Pretty good. And he took butter and milk, and they did eat. When they're there, they have a conversation, okay? He tells them about Sarah having a baby. We're going to skip that, and let's get to the Sodom and Gomorrah part. So we go down to verse 16. Now watch. "And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" So they're walking off, haven't mentioned at all about Sodom, and then he mentions it. "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment." It's kind of strange that he mentions he knows Abraham's going to treat his children right. there's an indication that they didn't treat the children right in Sodom. Watch. To do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. When you think of someone crying, who do you automatically think of? Most of the time you think of children, right? I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it. Now remember, Abel's blood cried out unto the Lord, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. So the two men turned to go to Sodom, Abraham and the Lord standing there. That's when Abraham starts bargaining with God. And he bargains and jews God down to where God says he will not destroy Sodom if there's 10 righteous in the city. He starts at 50 and he goes in increments of 5 and 10 till he gets to 10. When he gets to 10, he stops. Now, what we came up with in the 5 o'clock class is we think Abraham knows that Lot has 10 people in his family. Because the Bible tells you there's Lot and his wife, and he's got two virgin daughters, and he's got daughters that are married and son-in-laws. So at least he's got two more daughters and two son-in-laws, and we think one of them has two babies or each of them have a baby. That'd make 10 people in Lot's family. And when Abraham jews God down to 10, he stops. Now what you're going to see is his married daughters and son-in-laws just laugh at him. So, really quick, here is the story. Genesis chapter 19, verse 1. Watch this. Now, here's what I believe. I believe when Abraham went in the tent, he's telling Sarah, and Sarah's got, you know, maids. Sarah's not probably cooking this herself, but he's telling these women to make all this stuff. And then he run out in the herd and he told this young man, take that calf. This is the way I want you to cut it. And then I think that he sent someone to Sodom to warn Lot. Watch. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Now, every commentary you can find says that's a reference to Lot being on the city council. Now, let's just slow down and let's just read it, okay? Because that is a biblical thing you find in Deuteronomy and Judges and stuff, that people that sat at the city gate were the judges of that city. But there's a verse in this that those homosexuals that wanted to rape them to death said, who is this foreigner come into Sodom? He's not one of us. He's not going to judge us over nothing. So I don't think he's sitting on the city council when in the scripture itself says he's a sojourner, he's a foreigner. Watch. He's sitting at the gate. That's all that says. I think he was looking for them. Now what you'll notice is they don't come to Lot's house. He's at the gate waiting on them, and he takes them to his house. Watch. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And he's physically sitting there. That's not a reference to being on a city council. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. He's sitting there waiting on them. He's been told what they got on, what they look like. He rose up to meet him, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house. Well, they ain't even got inside the gate yet. And tarry all night, wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did break unleavened bread, and they did eat. Well, these angels eat every time you see them. And before they laid down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both ancient and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. Now, there is no discrepancy about it. That's a phrase. Knowing them means to know them sexually. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do you to them as is good in your eyes. I do not understand that at all, except the only thing I can say is he knew they wouldn't do it. Was the men of Sodom to the place so degenerate that a virgin young girl was not even considered? I don't know. He said, you do whatever you think is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fella came in to sojourn. In other words, he was a foreigner, and he came in and wasn't going to stay long. He was just passing through. He was a migrant sheep herder. And he will needs be a judge. Does that sound like to you? He sits on the city council as their judge. He's like, who is this guy? He ain't even one of us. He ain't going to tell us what to do. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. Well, these are what you call militant homosexuals. They are gaining in strength. They keep making TikToks with their AR, and they're going to shoot Christians and all this other stuff. They're militant drag queen homosexuals. What the last school shooting was a woman transgendering to a man, killed 6 people, and they yet will release her manifesto. Why won't they release what she wrote? I don't know. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Now that's a verse. We don't have time to break it down. But these angels cause these homosexuals to be blind, but they're still trying to find the door. Did you catch it? They don't say, oh, my Lord, I'm blind. Someone help me to my house. They're like, oh, my Lord, I can't see, but I still got raping on my mind. Where's the door? It's crazy. It's insane. It's insanity. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides? Now, these are the angels. They said, do you have any other family besides these two girls? Lot says, son-in-laws, do you have son-in-laws, or do you have sons, and do you have daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. Okay, so they're giving him a time to get his family, for we will destroy this place, because here you go again, here's this phrase, the cry of them. is waxing great. Who's crying? The Bible said the men, old and young, were all in one category. Who's crying? The children. The cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his son-in-law, which married his daughters, okay, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-law. They didn't believe him. He didn't have a witness. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. You got to get out of here. They don't want to go. And while he lingered, what's he lingering for? Okay, it's you and your wife, and you got two daughters across at the end of the block, let's say. Let's say they're next door. And you got two grandbabies, and you got two daughters, and you got two worthless son-in-laws. They're always worthless. And these angels are saying, okay, you guys need to hurry up. What is your conversation looking like? I can tell you what Miss Lot did. Miss Lot said, did you really go over there? Yes, dear, I went over there. What did you say to them? Well, I said that, I know it sounds strange, but there are some angels in our house, and they say they're going to destroy the whole city. Do you know what through archaeology have determined through the graves of the people in that area, that they think just the city of Sodom had a graveyard of 1 million people. This ain't no Kisa. Anyway, I think she said, did you even go over there? Yes, dear, I went over there. Well, what did you say to them? Well, I said there's two angels in our house, and Abraham sent a guy and said the Lord told him that they're going to destroy the whole city. Well, what did they say? They just laughed. Well, yeah, because you didn't know what to say. You're inadequate. You don't do anything right, and you need to get back over there and convince them to come with us. Well, how am I going to convince them, baby doll? I don't know. Huh? What would your conversation be like? Well, sweetie, why don't you go over there and try to convince them? You're the one that raised the two spoiled, rotten brat girls. Maybe if you would have disciplined them a little bit, they would have had honor for their father. Well, maybe if I'd have married someone else. That's what lingering is. They're lingering. Listen, every commentary you can read, every preacher you've ever heard, they'll say that Lot's wife was a witch, and all she wanted to do was go back for her purses and shoes. And I'm telling you, she was not. She's going back for her grandbabies just like you would. Why are people so dumb? You know why? Because they don't read this book. And if they don't read it, the Holy Spirit can't enlighten them. They just, you know what they do? They parrot what someone else read 500 years ago. They're not lingering because they're worried about their stuff. You know what the Bible says about Lot? He was a righteous and just man. Do you know, 3,000 years from now, if the world rocked on and they read about your life, and in your life story it said you lived in Bartlesville, the drag queen capital that had a buffalo on Main Street dressed in drag with sparkly genitalia, they might assume that you were part of that too. So they lingered. And the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. He should have left immediately. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. They drug them outside the city. Watch this verse. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. So the angel says, we can't destroy Sodom until you're safe. He's an example of the rapture. Watch. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city that was which grew upon the earth. But his wife looked back from behind him. And she became a pillar of salt. How many times have you seen it in the movies, you know, you get your theology from Hollywood, they're just right out the city and she breaks loose from the overpowering angels and she turns around to go back in. No, that is not what you just read. When they were safe, actually probably in that other little city, Zoar, then God rained down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah and the other cities round about. And she looked back. Now, this is going to stretch some of you, but what did she look back for? Sure, wouldn't you look back? Now, the whole world will tell you that God judged her for looking back because the angel said don't look back. I don't think he actually meant don't physically look back. They had to look at Sodom sometime, but I think what he meant was we're going to let you go. Don't start running back in there. But I think when she was free, she went to run back in there. Just like any parent would if your grandkids and children were in a burning fire. She's not going back for her favorite dishes. Now watch what God does. He turns her into a pillar of salt. Now every commentary you read says God judged her and sent her to hell. Well, now that doesn't make any sense to me. God went out of his way to make sure she was safe and told her, I can't do to this city what I intend to do to this city until you're safe. And then when she tried to run back in there, he encapsulized her in salt. Now, if you use the theological term hermeneutics, you take the Bible to explain the Bible, salt's always a good thing. And it's always used to preserve somebody. And I think that God kept her from getting back under his judgment because she wasn't appointed to it. And he preserved her as a witness of the people that he will preserve after the rapture. Do you know what Jesus told the Jewish people that will go through the tribulation? He said this, remember Lot's wife. Now, every commentary you read says, Jesus told them that as a warning. Don't you turn back or God will put you in hell. That's not what he's telling. He's telling these Jewish people that will go through the time of Jacob's trouble, watch an event where God preserves a bunch of people in a rapture. It's going to be a sign to the Jews that God preserved these people from his wrath. Remember, Jews require a sign. Jesus isn't telling these people, if you turn your head around, I'm going to put you in hell. He says, remember Lot's wife. But you've got these old ancient creepy spirits in all kinds of people getting them to teach things that aren't true. So nobody knows the truth. Now what you got to do is ask the Holy Spirit to help you and then read the book. Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. So the Bible says Lot was a just and righteous man, but he didn't get saved because of his relationship with the Lord. The Lord saved Lot and his family because of Abraham's relationship with the Lord. So if you don't have any other reason to live for the Lord, you might be saving some of your kinfolks' neck. So the story is, it's amazing when you just read it. It doesn't say Lot was on the city council. It said he was sitting at the gate when the men walked up there. And the story just fits like a glove. So what's the book of Jude about? It's about God judging people that talk bad about God or sin unto God. Got one last verse. I think it's very interesting. Genesis 13:13. If you've been asleep, you can wake up and start getting ready to leave. We'll go eat somewhere here in a minute. I notice when we go eat, nobody's ever fallen asleep while we're eating, you know. And I guess they got all their rest. Watch this. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, here's what's strange. First of all, if you read your Bible very much, David J., he's good at this. You understand what God does with the numbers. And this is 13:13, which, if you're a Bible student, it's just like a flashing light. There's something here. So, and all through the Bible, 13s. Notice what it says here. It says they were wicked. And it says sinners. Do you know that's the first time that word is used in the Bible? Genesis 13:13, talking about a civilization in a city 450 years after Noah's flood, is the first time the word sinner is used. Don't you think that's odd? Yeah, maybe not. Here's what I want you to get. So they're wicked sinners. And then this word, exceedingly. Okay, so what does that mean? What it means is, they were wicked sinners that exceeded something. That's what the word means, exceedingly. They were wicked, exceeding the wickedness before them, because that's what the definition of the word means. Exceeding. You outdid. You exceeded the wickedness that was before. You sinned exceedingly. You sinned like they did before and greater, exceedingly. So this is 450 years after the flood. If they exceeded those sinners, that's one of my arguments for why did they get destroyed? Because they had perfected the same thing that caused the flood. That's why the flood and Lot is always tied together. These guys in Sodom were ancient because they had manipulated the DNA of the human beings where they virtually didn't die. And that's about where you're at now. The Bible says in Revelation, before Jesus comes, that they will have figured out through pharmakia where men will beg to die but can't. Now, that don't mean you can't be killed. See, Goliath was one of these guys that would have had extended life periods. That's why David cut his head off. You can kill them. You cut their heads off, they're not living no long, long time. But naturally, they live forever and ever and ever. That's what makes them seem to be gods. Say whatever you want to, but homosexuality is not exceedingly more wicked than what caused the flood. But if they were manipulating with the bloodstream, that's where God stops it. I think it does. Now, you have to stop and think about this. God doesn't just willy-nilly destroy a whole city of people because some are, as Peggy says, queers. Because there's queers. If you guys all decide to go to Chili's, there's a queer in there that runs the place. They're everywhere. So that doesn't make sense, does it? And Barnesville's not probably, you know, near as bad as it is some places. Anytime you get to the East Coast or West Coast, you can multiply anything you see here by 100-fold. So, were they homosexuals? Yes. Were they militant homosexuals? Yes. Were they going to rape those guys? Yes, to death probably. But that's just a symptom of the last civilization. That is a symptom of a sin that God will allow in the last stages of a civilization. You do not have anywhere in history or biblical narrative any civilization that got past homosexuality and it celebrated and the abuse of children. It always starts out there abusing themselves. Then they abuse each other, and then they abuse children. That's the day you live in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these people. Thank you for their fortitude to stick it out. God, we thank you for the word. Help us not to allow any evil spirits to whisper in our ears or to try to inspire us to do things that aren't godly. Help us never to make an accusation against you, Lord. And this book is there as a reminder of the severity of the judgment that you have for people that do so. So thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.